Shores, El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Why does that say Phil Hendry Show starts at 9:15, bud?
Oh, get the wrong...
He has the wrong graphic up there.
Got a graphic on our video cast, folks. We're just going to have to get rid of that. Not that anybody is fooled by it, I don't think. We have long since passed the 9:15 p.m. mark. All right, so anyway, welcome to the program, and it's now officially Saturday. So we're all into the Saturday mode, and it is a beautiful thing to behold. That's for ding-dang sure. Now, I would like to make this suggestion for you. Sometime this weekend, you pick up a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website. Because, to be perfectly honest with you, this is where all the entertainment's going when it comes to radio. Whether it's my show or others, anything that is staying on radio is going to have some kind of a digital presence. And what is on digital is going to be a lot more interesting than what's on radio. So I would suggest you get a backstage pass to our website, philhendryshow.com. You'll have 15 years worth of radio shows to listen to, as well as the current podcast. We're going to be starting two more podcasts by summer. We've got a one-man show that we'd like to keep you updated on. Lots of things happening. Just go to philhendryshow.com, sign up for a backstage pass. You get a month, 6 months, a year, and for $9.99 a month, and of course you get a discount over the period of 6 months and a year, you're getting, as I say, full radio shows going back 15 years, classic radio stuff, archival stuff. And by the way, the podcast is now a premium podcast. The last 25 are, of course, available to everybody, but... from 1 to 119 or 120, I think, that's all premium material. So with a backstage pass, you have access to all of that as well. PhilHendryShow.com is the place to be. All right.
To be or not to be?
That is the question.
Very good. That's Shakespeare.
Yeah, I know that was Shakespeare. Now, who said this? Who said this?
Okay.
Oh, well, you don't know any Shakespeare.
Do you?
Yeah. To be or not to be.
Well, we already did that one.
Here's one. Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by this son of York.
Who's that?
That was Shakespeare.
I'm not familiar with it. No, I'm not either.
Well, it's Shakespeare, okay? It's Richard III, man. We were just talking about Richard III. Richard III from Shakespeare.
And it's very interesting. People will think that when that speech was written by Shakespeare, that Richard III actually said that. No, he didn't. There's no record that he said anything quite like that.
Yeah, it was just Shakespeare imagining Richard III as he was giving that speech. I don't know if it was on the occasion of him dying. I don't know when the hell it was. But why are we talking about Shakespeare? I want to talk about the National Football League. And what your coach will have to say to the kids if any of the NFL players say they're gay. So
yes, this is something that they didn't worry about in Shakespeare's time, did they?
I don't know. How did they deal with gay people in Shakespeare's time? How did they deal with gay people? Well, we know that at one time being gay was actually a norm, or if you will, it was part of an accepted part of society. Roman society, we know. Tolerated homosexuality, even among its soldiers, among its senators, among its generals. It was considered to be, you know, acceptable. There were some societies. And so here we are in the 21st century in America, and this is something that we are coming to terms with, the reality that there are gay people and lesbians, and the fact that, you know, what do you say to young people? How are we talking to kids about the new realities of life, whether they're sexual, whether they're social, etc.? Now, according to at least one source, if NFL players say they're gay, youth coaches will, quote, have to rethink manliness. This is at least the thoughts of one writer and the research he's done for Forbes. It seems like the question regarding whether a male athlete in a major pro sport will come out as gay is when, not if. In the last few weeks, CBSSports.com has reported that at least one pro football player would be coming out. The president of the NFL's player union has said his group is prepping for an openly gay player. And in an interview with the Baltimore Sun recently, released player and marriage equality activist Brendan Ayabadeo said groundwork is being laid for up to four players to come out simultaneously. And if that happens...
Well, is this man gay?
Brendan, I ought to be able to pronounce this guy's name. Brendan Iambadeo. No, he is a marriage equality activist, but he has not come out gay himself. He said the groundwork is being laid for up to four players to come out simultaneously. If that happens, the definition of what makes someone manly in sport is going to be in for some adjustment.
I'll say they won't be able to say that a gay guy can't play football.
Well, that's true. How many gay boxers? The fact of the matter is, folks, you know, you can put off the inevitable for only so long. It is a reality that gay people have been with us and a part of our societies and a part of our population and a part of our armies and a part of our politics and a part of our lives since the beginning of time. And pretending like they don't exist hasn't worked. Trying to stick them in nut houses or castrating them or giving them electroshock, that hasn't worked. Telling them to just shut up and go away or don't ask, don't tell, that ain't worked. You know, they're there. And so what do? You know, the Christian, I don't want to go down this, I don't want a religion bash here, but this whole go to some sort of a camp where you can learn how not to be gay. Do you believe in that, bud?
What?
Do you believe that a guy can be trained not to be gay?
You're putting me on the spot.
That's right, ma'am.
I don't know. I know.
Yeah, but you're only saying no because you're afraid of being yelled at.
What do you think?
I think maybe you can.
Man, you're a homophobe, man. Hold on. That's not the way to go about this, okay? I don't want to, you know, start calling people names. You think a guy can go to some Christian camp and learn how not to be gay?
I don't know. I mean, if I said yeah, then you're going to yell. If I say no, then you're going to say I'm a liar.
No, I'll accept your answer.
I don't know. Probably not.
Oh, that's a bunch of... You're just saying that.
Margaret, would you give the kid a break, okay? Maybe he hasn't thought about it. Maybe you haven't given it much thought, huh?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, you're going to yell if I say the wrong thing.
No, I'm not going to yell. I swear to God, I won't let anybody yell at you. If you say that you think gay people can go to some camp and be changed, I will accept that. And hopefully I'll be able to change your mind, because I don't agree with you, but, you know.
What if I change your mind?
Yeah, fat chance, ma'am.
Are you kidding me? You changing my mind? That's about as likely as the sun turning into a big fat...
What?
I don't know what.
The sun turning into a big fat what?
A big fat, you know, testicle. I don't know.
God.
I don't pressure me into coming up with an answer.
Fine, we won't. So what do you think?
I think that you can go to, well, a guy told me he knows of a guy that did.
He does. He knows of a guy that went to one of these camps and he was changed?
Well, I mean, he thinks he was, but he's not sure.
Yeah, there you go. You're not sure. You know, there's no real, I don't personally think you can do it, but if you can, if it is possible, I don't think it's been proved yet. You know?
Well, he said he saw the guy on TV. The guy's all, yeah, I like girls. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't know.
Well, you believe that?
I don't know.
Well, it's okay, bud. That's okay. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're a dumbass or you're wrong. That's how you think. I mean, that's where we got to start. We got to start with honesty here. You know, if that's how you think, that's how you think. You know?
Why are you asking me? Why don't you ask Robert?
Because I know how he thinks and I know how you think, and you are the guy here in the crew that's got all these kind of whacked out thoughts, you know?
Well, I'm not racist or anything, like you guys say.
Yeah, you got a black girlfriend. How come you're, like yesterday you said, how come I dare talk to a white man like that?
Because I just was seeing if you'd get pissed.
You got to knock that stuff off, because people think you're a racist. You know that, don't you?
No.
They do. So you got to knock it off. All right. Let's take a break and get back here to this article we're reading about what are they going to do if a gay player comes out? What do you say to kids? This is a very interesting article, I think. And I think it's one that should be read. And I'm sure that everybody who has a kid, whether they be gay or straight, would certainly encourage us to understand and to begin to speak the language and begin to communicate with our kids about these things. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You can.
The Phil Hendry Show.
I think you can, because look, you were able to do it.
Man, I want to kick you.
So the question here on the table is, you know, what do you say to a kid as these NFL players start coming out? The feeling is in the league, the feeling is among the players, and has been expressed in a couple of instances. We mentioned Brendan Iyanbadeo, who is a marriage equality activist and a player for, or was a player for the Baltimore Ravens. He said the groundwork is being laid for at least four players to come out simultaneously in the National Football League. So the time is right, they feel, for gay players to begin to make their presence known. The atmosphere is right. So what do you say to kids? And there have been some, you know, things that have been stated. In dribs and drabs, former players and other men, including at least one pro bowler in the sporting world, have come out. Leagues have gotten more comfortable with the concept of homosexuality, as have their players, who have been more open about their support of LGBT-related initiatives. At least publicly, leagues and teams are acting less kindly than they used to toward anyone associated with being anti-gay. Look at San Francisco 49ers cornerback Chris Culliver, widely reviled by the public and his own team for a radio interview before the Super Bowl, in which he declared, "Ain't got no gay people on the team. They got to get up out of here if they do. Can't be with that sweet stuff. Can't be in the locker room. Nah." Culliver underwent sensitivity training and is now volunteering with an LGBT youth support group. So, you know, some guys are, they ain't got the message. Now, why is that important? Because if a guy like that is talking that way, and then all of a sudden a guy comes into the locker and says, "I'm gay," or the team says, "We're hiring a gay player," in much the same way as in the late 40s, the Brooklyn Dodgers said, "Well, I hate to break the news to you guys, but we have a black player now, and you're going to have to learn to get along with him."
You know, they didn't have any sensitivity training back when the Jackie, and what was the man's name?
Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, did they have sensitivity training?
You kidding me? They didn't have anything like that.
No, they didn't. And they had like St. Louis Cardinals, and they had a bunch of crackers.
That's racist.
Will you just knock it off, bud? Now, they didn't have sensitivity training. You crazy? I mean, Jackie Robinson was put through the grind, man. That cat, every ballpark they went to, he was called the N-word. People were screaming at him. Some of the teams didn't want to play the Dodgers. They didn't come out of the dugout, you know. No, sensitivity training? Are you kidding? That guy, he's, that poor man was, and he was told by Branch Rickey, he said, "I don't care what they do, you got to keep your mouth shut."
Well, you're kidding.
No.
He was told, "I don't care what they do and what they call you, keep your mouth shut, take the high road, I don't want you engaging any of the fans or any of the players, don't be baited by them." That's what Branch Rickey told him, and that's exactly what Jackie Robinson did. He kept his mouth shut. He just let his baseball ability speak for itself and made believers out of everybody, and and the rest is history. While it appears it's going to happen someday, no one has come out. The issue may not be merely the feared negative attention, but the attention in general that would come from being a major sport's first actively playing gay man. If indeed there are multiple players on multiple teams coming out in a coordinated effort, one that is likely to include discussions with management, coaches, and teammates about how to handle the media attention, then that at least spreads the impact so only one player isn't feeling the full effect of being the first gay. So that's a pretty good way of doing it, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, they'll just say there's four gays.
So?
So they'll say these are the first four gays that came out.
It'll be easier, they're thinking, bud, than if they have one guy that's got to take the heat. You know, like we were saying with Jackie Robinson being the first black player.
Well, I don't see how that's going to help, because unless they're on the same team. If there were four black players that came out when Jackie Robinson came out, and Jackie Robinson was gay?
No, Jackie Robinson was black.
Well, then what's he coming out?
He came out black.
Yeah, he came out black.
No, Margaret's right. What do you mean, came out black?
Oh. Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, all of a sudden, hey, I want you to know something. I'm actually black.
Yeah.
Are you nuts or something, Bud? Think about it. Think long and hard about it, Bud.
Bud.
No, no. Let him figure it out. Do you understand?
If Jackie Robinson come out gay, that's good, right?
No, we're not talking about coming out gay. Jackie Robinson was black.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. He came out black.
Right. How can you come out black?
Are you kidding me or something? You're looking in a mirror and there you are. You just came out black.
No, man. No, 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 no. Look.
No, let him figure. Excuse me, I belch. Do you mind?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Too late now, I guess.
Well, you belched. Never mind. Think about it, Bud. Jackie Robinson coming out black.
Yeah, and he did come out black.
How did he come out black?
When he was born, he come out black.
Well, that's true. He came out black, but...
What do you mean he came out black? His mother was black, his father was black. It's not like, you know, they were mixing a chocolate shake in there and it just happened to come out black.
Well, I mean...
What we're saying here is...
Phil...
No, no, not Phil. No, I'm not letting him figure it out. How do you come out black?
Well, you're saying about gay people coming out.
Gay people...
You see, you try to explain to an idiot, you'll never get anywhere.
Let's take a phone call. 877-877. Okay, here's Dr. Sadler now. Dr. Sadler, you've been listening to this?
Yeah, Phil, I have been listening. Well, let me take a crack at it. Hey, Bud, it's Dr. Sadler. How are you?
Yeah, Dr. Sadler, I'm good. I don't need to talk to a head shrinker.
No, no, I don't think you do either, but I wanted to take a crack at it.
What do you mean, a crack?
I mean, I want to take a shot at it. It's got nothing to do with crack. I said I want to take a crack at it, as an old saying, like I want to take a shot at it.
Okay.
But if I am gay, well, I better not say I'm gay, because you, for the longest time, you've made fun of the way I talk. Do you think I'm gay?
I mean, I don't think you are, but you say that you're not.
I am not gay. I'm married, and I'm married to a very lovely woman.
Right, but the way you talk is funny.
Okay, so let's start right there. You think because I talk the way I talk, I gotta be gay, right?
Yeah, but I know you had an accident and your tongue got hurt.
Right, exactly. It was a lion taming accident, and the tongue got injured. Okay. Do you think gay people have crippled tongues or something?
Well, it seems like that. Yeah.
Oh God.
Oh, hold on, Phil. Hold on. What do you mean it seems like that?
I mean, I'm saying gay people do. It seems like just, what do you call, feminism?
Are you talking about feminism?
Yeah, but only with guys.
Okay, you're saying that guys that have feminism, if I'm hearing you correctly, have injured tongues.
Well, they all go, you know, like, fey there, like that.
Yeah, you talk about like a lisping.
You're talking about Lisbon.
No, lisping.
No, he was... You're not talking about Portugal.
No, I'm not talking about Portugal. I'm talking about lisping.
Yeah, when they go, listen.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I wanted to be psychological and patient, and I wanted to take my time and try to work through this with you, Bud, as a voice of reason and sanity, but I'm so... You know, you just pissed me off.
Okay, that's fantastic, man. Way to take that call, huh?
Well, I know you want to talk to a psychologist.
Yeah, he's a psychologist, all right. You know, by the way, I'm reading all these Scientology books. I don't know why. They're not Scientology books. It's like I'm reading the one Going Clear, which is a history of Scientology in Hollywood. I just finished Inside Scientology. For some reason, I just find it fascinating. Just find it fascinating. But one of the things about Scientology is they don't believe in psychiatry. They don't believe in psychology. They believe, in fact, it's evil, and psychiatry is evil, and it's led mankind down the road to ruin. When I listen to Dr. Sadler,
you feel like you're a Scientologist.
Yeah, pretty much. You got it. Although I'm not ready to indict the whole thing.
I bet Dr. Sadler being a Scientology.
He's not a Scientologist. I said that he's a psychologist, and he's probably the guy that they're thinking of when they say, don't go to a psychologist.
Yeah, well, he sounds like a nutcase, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
But I'm not all psychologists like that.
Yeah, you think he's Scientology?
Would you knock it off with, no, I said, I don't think he's Scientology. We'll be right back.
God!
World, is that him?
Yeah, I didn't say. Hold on.
I am not a Scientologist. I've never been a Scientologist. I wiped my rear end with Scientology.
Thank you very much, Dr. Satter. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Bud? I didn't do anything wrong.
And L. Ron Hubbard. L. Ron Hubbard can kiss me.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and it is Saturday all across the beautiful land of ours here, the U.S. of A. From the El Pacifico, and of course our website is philhendryshow.com, and we encourage you to get a backstage pass and join us for our live video cast of our show each and every night, our pre-show each and every night, and also on the weekends we occasionally show a movie or two, and we've got another Saturday night at the movies tonight.
What's the movie going to be?
It'll be some science fiction, some whacked out thing. The most popular one so far has been Diary of a Nudist.
Yeah, a lot of people like that because they obviously had very beautiful girls in that.
Well, let me tell you something. I mean, that Diary of a Nudist was, it ostensibly was about a nudist camp, but there were some beautiful chicks in that movie.
Do you think about a nude camp?
No, I don't think it was about a nudist camp at all. I think it was what they were able to get away with in those days in terms of movies, showing nude women or nude guys. If you said it was about a documentary about a nudist camp, you could get away with it. So that's what this Doris, what was her name? Doris Wishman, I think was her name, who started filming these nudie movies, as they call them. All right, Mavis Leonard joins us, Robert's aunt, and we're going to talk a little bit about the old days. We mentioned there was no sensitivity training when Jackie Robinson came out, because that's what they're discussing here with the openly gay players eventually coming out and declaring that they are gay. How will they be treated? We live in a much more enlightened time, and that's good, but Mavis, you were not living in such a time, were you?
I would say I was not living in such a time, Mr. Hendry. There were a very hard time for black people, and I'd imagine even worse for a gay one, you know. But there was no sensitivity training at all.
So for Jackie Robinson, there wasn't, and he just had to take it as it came, huh?
Yeah, that's about the only chance you had. I mean, but it was the same for everybody, you know. And I had to deal with. There's no sensitivity training for me when I declared that I was black, and I had done laundry for this woman for a year.
What do you mean when you declared you were black?
Well, I felt that if Jackie Robinson broke a color line officially, I wanted to tell this white woman that I worked for that I'm black now, because I was a teenager when Jackie Robinson, he come out and played on a Brooklyn Dodgers, you know?
Yeah.
And I saw Jackie Robinson play on spring training. I went with my uncle to the game, saw Jackie Robinson, and a very proud time to see him. And I said, I'm gonna cross the color line when it comes to doing laundry. My uncle said, you know, get in and out of the sun because you sound like a black version of Gracie Allen. Well, he said, you know.
A black version of Gracie? In other words, you sounded dopey.
Yeah, he said, I sound a dope. I said, I'll show you how dopey I sound. You want to see dopey? I said, keep an eye on me. Watch this. And the next day, I went to the lady's house, and I said, Mrs. Brandchild is the name. Mrs. Brandchild, Virginia Brandchild. I'll never forget. She was a nice lady, but she thought she could go to the bathroom, and it was going to smell like Chanel number 5. And I said to her, you can keep on thinking that way and keep on thinking that way, but everyone you pinch off, well, I better not say.
Yeah, can we move past that? So anyway, you came out, you crossed the color line in your own way.
Yes, I did. I'm watching your video cast, Mr. Hendry, and you're wagging that left hand around like you, if your wrist gets any limper.
Sorry.
You all just, you know. But look, Mr. Henry, in all seriousness, I said to this lady, I said, Jackie Robinson, come out. He's a black man. He declared he's black.
And can I gotta interrupt you here, okay?
Why do you keep interrupting people?
Phil, what are you interrupting her for?
I'm gonna interrupt her. Says Jackie Robinson declared he's black. What is it with you guys? He didn't declare anything. He just stood there and said, I'd like to play baseball. It was quite obvious he was black.
Yes, I'm saying that it was, Mr. Henry. I'm not saying nothing different.
Well, you guys are saying you declared that he was black. You crossed the color line.
Yes, I did cross the color line because everybody was there inspired by Jackie Robinson trying to say.
You worked for this lady for how long?
I worked, Miss Brandchild?
Yeah.
I started working for her when I was 10 years old.
And that would have been 19, when?
1944.
Okay. Now Jackie Robinson, 1948, and you're what?
I'm 16 years old.
Okay, and now you declare you're black.
Yes. I'd worked for her for the previous 4 years or whatever it was, and now I said, now Jackie Robinson declared, he said, take a look, you know, this ain't burnt cork. And I said, Mrs. Brandchild, my name, and I told her, you know, my name is Mavis Elderberry, which was my maiden name. It wasn't really my maiden name. My maiden name was Bortman, but Elderberry sounded more, you know, it sounded less Jewish. So
Wait, hold on for a minute, okay?
You don't know this, Adam? My aunt said her maiden name was Bortman, but it's a German name, right?
Yeah, it was German, but a lot of people said it sounded Jewish, and I said, oh, I already got one foot in it. Why do I got to put the other one in? So I changed my maiden name to Elderberry. And my middle name I changed to Screwcap as a joke, because nobody ever going to... My name is Mavis.
Screwcap.
Right, for a Screwcap Elderberry wine. So anyway...
Are you kidding me? What kind of a joke is that?
Margaret, well, I will thank you to keep your nose out of my business.
You're here telling everyone your business. I'm asking a question.
Well, you're just going to have to get in line because I'm telling my story right now.
All right, hold on. Go ahead, Mavis. Margaret, just back off, will you?
Well, what's she talking about, screw cap?
That was a joke, I said. Now, turn that TV down. Robert, I got your cousin over here tonight, Stu Vaughn, okay?
Hey, tell him I said hi, will you?
Yeah, Robert says hi. Turn that garbage down, will you? I don't give a damn what you want. All right. So anyway, I said to this lady, I said, I now openly declare that I'm crossing the color line. I'm a black woman. And she looked at me like I just escaped from a lunatic farm, you know. And I said, what you looking at, Mrs. Brandtout? She said, you must just come out of a nut hatch because of the nonsense you're talking. So I said, is that right? She said, yeah, you declare that you're black, ha, 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 and all that kind of nonsense. Then she went inside, made a tuna fish sandwich, and she had herself a Coca-Cola, and she had a cottage cheese and lay down and take a nap. Now, I'm doing her laundry, and I put witch hazel in the panties, because witch hazel make you itch, because that was my way of paying her back for laughing at me when I said I'm coming out as a black woman. Because, you know, she called them colored.
Now, all right, let's stop for a minute. You put witch hazel in her panties?
Yeah, because that'll make them itch.
Because that'll make her itch.
That's right. Then I went down, I got my husband-to-be, which was Fruit Bomb, which is Robert's uncle, and he had a Brownie 8 camera. So I put the witch hazel in her panties. I stood around the corner with a Brownie 8, and she got dressed. And she's going to go downtown and go window shopping. And I followed her downtown, and I got about, I'd say a half hour of Brownie 8mm of her reaching up under her dress and scratching every 3 feet. And I'm telling you, she got 1 foot up on a brick wall. But what you laughing at?
Well, what do you think?
She had 1 foot up on a brick wall. At one point, she had 1 foot up on a brick wall.
So this is the childish way that you...
That's not childish, Mr. Henry. I'm going to tell you something right now. That was a very benign action considering what had been done to my people for so many years. And if this lady putting on some witch hazel line panties, well, good for her. But I caught her at one point. She sat down and put her elbows on her knees and just looked around and then went ahead and went to work again.
Okay, well.
Is that done with me?
Yeah, that's.
Well, that's the most disgusting story.
Oh, would you give it a rest, Margaret? Before would you give it a rest to you before your ass gives out?
Are you gonna let her talk to me like that?
Actually, yeah, it's pretty funny.
Before my ass gives out.
That's right. You are running your mouth and running your mouth and running your mouth. All of the energy it takes to run your mouth, there's no energy left for your ass. Your ass is just going to give out.
Yeah, I am going to quit on you.
That's right.
All three of you can rot. You can rot. You can drop into the dirt and rot.
Going off to the bathroom again.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Henry, that's how I dealt with it. And Mrs. Fairchild, she spent that whole summer itching and scratching, elbows on her knees, looking up at me and shaking her head that she didn't know I had anything to do with it. She looked at me like for sympathy and go, what the hell happened to me? I mean, something is just itching like a son of a B-word, you know. She went off to the doctor and got all kinds of creams and everything. Well, there I was the next Monday, putting a witch hazel in the panties again. Then she'd be walking down the street, put one leg up on a brick wall, had the other one. Guys would start thinking, you know, what dock do you work at?
All right, well, Mavis, I got to get going. We got to take a break.
I'm looking at the clock. You still got a minute to go. I keep track of all that.
Well, I thank you, but I'll do it. Thank you very much. And you're very, very kind for sharing that, Witch Hazel. And fortunately, we don't have to do those things anymore.
Well, I do because there's a couple of women I work for. I still give them the W. I give them the W, yeah.
The W?
Yeah, I give them the witch hazel. A lot of times I'll give them what I call a cross finger, the W. I said, she's going to get the W tonight if she keeps on giving me a hard time, telling me I got to do underwear and brassiere. I said, I'll do your brassiere. I'll line that with witch hazel. You'll be watching, walking down the street, opening your blouse up and going, God, man, why? Why me?
All right, thanks very much. And do these women, did they ever suspect?
No, they thought they had poison ivy. And what I would do, and Mrs. Brandchild, she'd start reaching up, I'd go, you're going to need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound. The minute you start to mess around, oh, you know, and she'd look at me and shake her head and say, ain't that the truth?
And she thought she had poison ivy and it was you with the witch hazel.
All along, yeah.
All right, Mavis Leonard with one of the more childish stunts.
Yeah, well, I think it was a pretty good idea back in those days.
Well, maybe it was. I don't know.
I don't. I think it was absolutely childish. And then she's singing Poison Ivy.
Yeah, that's pretty good, just to let them know.
So then when the lady started scratching, Mavis would be going, you're going to need an ocean. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show here and philhendryshow.com. Thank you, Mavis. Robert, thank you for calling your aunt up. I appreciate that.
It's all right, Missouri. Anytime you want to do that.
Truth.
Just let me know. Give
is
me a heads
our bitch.
Up.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Get Poison Ivy on.
Yes, I wanted to hear this song because I'm not familiar with the song he's talking about.
Poison Ivy is just it's a novelty hit. It was a novelty song that was done in the 50s by a group called the Coasters. And by novelty, I mean it was just a goofy song about getting Poison Ivy, I think. Did you find it?
Well, yeah, I found it by the Coasters, and I think that's the name of the group, but for some reason it's not going to be allowed.
What do you mean it's not going to be allowed?
Well, I bought it, but then it also shows that I...
Never mind, Bud. Do you have it or don't you?
Yeah, I do.
All right, fine. Now, why can't we hear it? It's called Poison Ivy. It's by the Coasters. Where the hell is it, man? Let me see this thing.
Right there.
All right, so this is a song that was done by the Coasters, and it's, you know, it's about freaking Poison Ivy. You bought it twice, you jackball.
Yeah, because you said I hadn't bought it yet.
What do you mean, botted it?
Here it is. This is the Coasters. Is this the song?
Yeah, let me get... I get my arm back on the phone. See the...
She comes on like a rose.
What the hell?
Everybody knows.
She comes on like a rose.
Margaret.
She'll get
now
you
listen
in
to
touch.
This.
You can look hey, honey, you better.
Is that the song?
Touch.
Yeah, that there it is right there. That's the song, Poison Ivy. I sing that song every time that white woman come out of the house. That's it. Yeah. See, that song was made by those brothers because the white people tell you, and you stick witch hazel in the underwear, they be scratching at the you-know-what on. And this lady, this Mrs. Brantower, says, she's talking to me like I'm some kind of trash. I get done with you, you're going to be walking down the street itching and scratching like you playing for the Kansas City Monarchs of the Negro League.
Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes a-creeping around.
What does that mean?
Well, what it means is this lady's treating me like I'm garbage, so I'm going to treat her like I'm going to have her itching like she's on deck. She's on deck against Satchel Paige.
Well, what is all that? Lord, this is one of the black songs, is that it?
Yeah, that's what that is, Margaret. Good girl. It's one of the black songs. This is R&B, lady. Rhythm and blue.
And if you start to mess around, poison ivy.
Oh, and listen, they're all singing in tandem. There's a chorus. It's almost as if all of the black gardeners and butlers are going, ha-ha.
Yeah, that's about what's happening. All the black gardeners and butlers. You know something? In your next life, Margaret, you're going to come back, I think, as a black butler.
And why do you think I'll come back as a butler?
I swear to God, you got a pair under that dress of yours.
Calamine lotion.
Yeah, right there. See calamine lotion? Scratching like a hound.
The minute you start to mess around.
Mrs. Brandchild. He started itching.
All right. Thank you very much.
What's that?
I said thank you very much.
I can't hear you.
Turn it off, will you? Thank you very, very much, Mavis.
Hey, take it off. I really like that song.
Okay, bud. We can hear it a little bit later. Do you mind?
Yeah, man. We're playing that song. That sounds good. Why'd you turn it off?
There. You happy?
No, because it's fading out.
Well, you're going to have to just let it fade out. God. You guys are giving me a royal pain, I'll tell you that. Anyway, there it is. So that's the song about itching from the Coasters.
Well, I don't understand Poison Ivy. So in other words, it was a song about getting poison ivy, and what's the point?
The point is it was a song about getting poison ivy, I guess. It was about, you know, don't get poison ivy.
Yeah, don't get poison ivy.
Are you trying to tell me that people back then were so stupid that they...
No, they just made fun of it. It was something that was, you got to understand, the mass media was beginning to come into its own. So all of the touchstones, all of the things that people shared, everything that we knew about each other and we knew about living, suddenly we were able to share it over wide spaces. We were able to share it in popular music. We were able to share it on the radio. We were able to share it with millions as opposed to just thousands. And so when popular music really came into popularity, I guess, in the 50s, you would hear songs talking about all this stuff, Poison Ivy. And there was even a song back then about Martians or something, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. There's a song called A Purple Eater. Well, a purple people eater?
Purple people eaters, yeah.
What the heck? You guys, really, Phil, with all due respect, whatever it is you're eating, whatever you're taking, I heard you talking about LSD with Jay Moore. What's going on there?
Hey, there's nothing going on. What are you talking about?
Why are you talking like a jackass?
I'm not talking like... You know what the problem is here, Margaret? You don't understand what's going on in the world. You're in some ivory tower.
Oh, I am I?
Yes. How dare you?
I heard you talking about LSD with Jay Moore on the phone here today.
Don't you point your finger at me talking... If you accuse me of taking drugs while I'm on the air, I'm going to tell you something, lady. You're going to have a lawsuit.
Excuse me, my husband's a lawyer.
I don't care. You're going to need Borden Frank.
All right, I apologize.
What?
I said I...
Yeah, I can't hear you, lady.
I'm not talking to you, brains.
I didn't hear you, Margaret.
I said I apologize.
Are you saying that you apologize?
I believe I just said that.
I can't hear you. You're going, I'm...
Yeah, that's what you're doing, Margaret.
I apologize. Thank you. Because that's a hell of a thing to accuse a guy of, you know.
I apologize. Good God, are you going to keep beating it into the ground? What a baby.
Yeah, that's a very serious charge, Ms. Gray. Say a guy is taking LSD and doing a freak out.
I didn't say anything about a freak out.
Jay and I were talking about something else entirely. It had nothing to do with anything, okay? So thank you very much.
Oh, don't, Phil, don't act all the innocent with me. I'm sure there were times when you were just, had your shirt off and painting your face blue and worshiping at the altar of some god long dead, your pants off, you're in a movie theater someplace, dancing with a girl with a flower, and she's nude. Right?
No, never did any of that stuff. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by me, produced by Dan Northcraft, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard. You're all beautiful people. I love you. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to go online at philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass and be a part of our backstage pass family. We'll see you on Monday at 10 o'clock. And until then, let that be a lesson to you. Yeah.
Phil Hendry.